This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This story is part of our episode on becoming visible. When Donald Trump was elected president, many scientists became very nervous. Chatter started online almost immediately in Facebook groups and message boards. Many people perceived him as an anti-science candidate. And almost right after the inauguration, people started organizing a march for science. One of the co-chairs of the march, Valerie Aquino, said she felt like scientists had failed to make their case to the public. They had lost the public's trust. And the way to rebuild it was to become more visible.
I would hope that scientists are getting to be more comfortable with doing a little bit more than just leaving data at someone's doorstep and walking away, but really working toward showing that data and themselves to the general public.
Over the last couple of months, Irina Zhurov has been keeping in touch with scientists. She wanted to find out what that journey was like, some of the motivations, some of the missteps, as they prepared to take their cause public.
Janine Krippner is finishing up a PhD in volcanology at the University of Pittsburgh. She studies pyroclastic flows, very fast, hot masses of rock, gas, and ash that race down a volcano during an eruption, destroying everything in their path. She wants to stay in the U.S., eventually get citizenship and work. Aside from her science studies here, she's also had a steep learning curve in U.S. politics, particularly around science.
I'm a bit new to it, but there seemed to be a lot more support, or at least a feeling of support, more so with Obama than there is now. So I definitely noticed a difference leading up to the last election.
That's made her reflective of her role in science. She got into volcanoes at a young age.
But I didn't think it was a real job until I was 13 years old, and in a geography class, our teacher went over what a volcanologist is. And it was at that moment I sat back in my chair and thought, oh my goodness, that's what I am. And that's been the path on life I've been on since then.
Now she wants to educate kids and advocate for science in addition to doing research. I first talked to Janine in February, about a month after President Trump's inauguration. She said she knew she'd go as soon as the idea for a march for science started floating around.
It's absolutely an instant, I'm going.
It'd be her second march ever. The first was the Women's March the day after inauguration.
I think it's empowering. There's a lot of scary things going on, but a lot of people are finding voices that they didn't have before.
Several people in her department at Pitt plan to march together. Becky Tischerman, a bubbly PhD student, was one of them. Becky studies water flow and quality in cities. At the time, she thought of it as solidarity. She didn't think her own work would be threatened.
I mean, I'm the sector of water, and that is something that a lot of people can agree on that we need. So hopefully for me, my job prospects wouldn't go away.
I talked to the women again about a month later, in March, after President Trump introduced his budget proposal.
Honestly, at first, I didn't want to read about it.
Trump proposed massive cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency, as well as other science-heavy agencies, like NASA, which funds Janine's research.
I think I'm a bit numb to it all now, which is a shame.
Becky, too, said it'd been a tough month.
I know, maybe this was, again, naive, but I was kind of hoping for the first 2 months of the Washington administration that whatever they said that they were going to do, they weren't exactly going to do it. With seeing the budget plan and seeing all the regulations they're trying to get rid of, I mean, they're definitely doing it.
The politics were draining her, but she also got some other bad news. One of her research grant applications had been denied. She was becoming less sure of clean water's universal appeal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this semester's just been so hard, and maybe I'm just getting more jaded this over the past month, but it's looking like the higher ups there in the administration don't really see it as a priority.
The significance of the march evolved for her in that time.
I think this march is very important for scientists to get out. And I've been hearing from more and more friends saying, are you going to this? Should I come? And I'm like, yes, go. The more people, the better.
Pretty much like right here.
Welcome everyone, to March for Science Earth Day 2017!
I met up with Becky and Janine on the Mall in Washington, D.C. at the rally before the march. Everyone in their group wore science-themed t-shirts, some of them pretty DIY. Janine's had a volcano on it. She often wears skirts to public presentations to show young girls that geologists look all different ways.
Yeah, I'm rocking a skirt. Yeah, it's kind of chilly, but that's okay.
It was raining. The driest person at the rally was probably whoever was inside a 7-foot-tall blow-up T-Rex suit. On stage, speakers read various iterations of love letters to science. And Becky started to feel a little better.
You know, I was upset for a while. And so it's nice having this reassurance that, like, people actually care. And I think it's definitely emotional for a lot of us.
80s pop star Thomas Dolby made an appearance to play his hit song. TV personality Bill Nye lit up the rally like Beyoncé might.
Everyone's a Bill Nye fan. He's so close to us.
And as the rally wound down, people politely shuffled towards the march route. The March for Science seemed like a physical manifestation of the panic that had been emanating from various science circles for months. It was the embodiment of people's frustrations with the Trump administration's proposed policies. The cuts to science he floated in his budget, the appointment of Scott Pruitt to the EPA, a man who doesn't seem to fully embrace the agency's mission, Trump's own statements doubting the science around climate change. It was personal for many people. Jobs and research funds are on the line. But Trump's rhetoric and many voters' positive response to it also shook many science people's fundamental worldview. The purity of their intentions had been questioned, and that hurt.
This is my 10th year in university. And if I didn't absolutely love what I do, I wouldn't be doing this. You know, we wouldn't be going tens of thousands of dollars into debt. We wouldn't be facing a job industry that's extremely uncertain, and we do it because we love what we do and what we think it's important. I want to save lives, I want to help people, and that's why I'm here.
It's as if the scientists, for the first time, understood themselves to be misunderstood, saw the need to speak up. As we passed museums and government buildings along Constitution Avenue, Becky talked about the need to explain what scientists actually do.
I hope that this inspires people who work in science, gets them motivated to communicate what they're doing with everyone. I'm studying rivers, I'm studying volcanoes, here's what's happening with them, here's why you should care. Get rid of the jargon and just like be able to communicate what you're saying so people will care about it.
The rain didn't let up.
I'm happy this place is such a positive atmosphere. Everyone's trying to keep everyone's spirits up, even though we're miserable in the rain.
Despite the high spirits, the march was distinctly quiet. Even when people try to start up chants, they died out after just a few rounds. The scientists seemed shy or just unsure about their voices. The loudest they got was marching by the EPA building.
EPA! 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 EPA!
I gave an EPA scientist a hug. I feel good.
And then it was like having heard their voices, they liked it. They tried another chant.
NIH!
But it died down quickly. Still, Becky and Janine beamed. What if we had more scientists in elected office than used? What if we communicated our ideas to reporters more often? What if we got involved in our communities?
This is just the beginning for us.
That was Irina Zhurov reporting in Washington, D.C.